Our scripture today is 1 Peter 3:13 through 23. Who will you harm if you are zealous for good? But happy are you even if you suffer because of righteousness. Don't be terrified or upset by them. Instead, regard Christ the Lord as holy in your hearts. Whenever anyone asks you to speak of your hope, be ready to defend it. Yet do this with respect, humility, maintaining a good conscience. Act in this way so that those who malign your good lifestyle in Christ may be ashamed when they slander you. It is better to suffer for doing good, if this could possibly be God's will, than for doing evil. Christ himself suffered on account of our sins once for all, the righteous one on behalf of unrighteous. He did this in order to bring you into the presence of God. Christ was put to death as a human man, but made alive by the Spirit, and it was by the Spirit that he went on to preach to the spirits in prison. In the past, these spirits were disobedient. When God patiently waited during the time of Noah, Noah built an ark in which a few, that is eight, lives were rescued through water. Baptism is like that. It saves you now, not because it removes dirt from your body, but because it is the mark of a good conscience toward God. Your salvation comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at God's right side. Now that he has gone into heaven, he rules over all angels, authorities, and powers.
Let us pray. Lord God, we just heard your word. We're about to receive your message. Lord, we ask that you open our ears and our hearts. Let us perceive what your Spirit has for us. Lord, let us take in this message, not just as hearers, but as doers. Let it reflect in our lives, challenge, and change us. And all the beloved said, amen. We are in Easter, season of Easter, in the resurrection of Christ. And through this season, we learn as to why Jesus was resurrected, why Jesus came back from the dead. Not just as the power of God revealed in the resurrection itself, but in the example that Christ sets for us through his encountering each disciple, through the walk of Emmaus when he encountered two strangers, through the encounter with Mary when she visited the grave and the gardener came out to see her and said, "Mary, be not afraid." In every time of the resurrection, there's an encounter that Jesus has. Up until the time when he sees Peter and they're fishing and Peter swims to him and comes to land and Jesus is cooking him fish and he breaks it and he says, "Peter, feed my lambs, feed my young children. Peter, feed my sheep, feed the young people, the young adults who are just starting out who don't really know the way yet." And then he goes on, "Peter, feed my sheep again. Peter, feed those that are established, the pillars of the church, those that have grown up in themselves and have reached the pillars. They still need someone to feed them." And this is the Peter that gives this message we're about to receive, this scripture that we just heard. It's the most example of resurrection, of the power of Christ, on why Christ had to come. And it's also a very Wesleyan message: do good, do no harm, and stay in love with God. And it also teaches the themes of motherhood. I have a problem with Mother's Day. Let me put this out there. I'm biased against Mother's Day. I'm biased against Father's Day on two parts. One, I work with child welfare, children that do not have good homes. And Mother's Day and Father's Day are set in traditionalism, which means it does not in itself recognize people who have taken in children that belong to them. It focuses on a family that Idaho was established as being the only true family, and that is the family you gave birth to. It gets rid of every other thing other than that signal. And in that stigmatism, I have a problem with it. I wasn't raised in a good home. I don't have good parents. I don't look at them as being my mothers and fathers. I look at my community as being mothers and fathers. So Mother's Day in itself, but we've gone beyond that to the spirit of what is a mother? What is a father? Scripture says, when your mother and father forsake you, then I will be your God. In that spirit, we go forward, knowing that people can do harm against other people, and that includes parents. But there are people in the community that will step into place that God guides us to lift us up, encourage, nurture, strengthen, heal, and overcome with. So to start this, I'm going to read a section from a book called Three Simple Rules. And it goes along well with this message and with this scripture. It brings more depth into it. For when we see people as the image of God, freshly stamped on the heart, this is the ultimate reward in faithfulness. And it will certainly lead us to decisions to do good all we can to everyone we can. For it is God who loves and permits the rain to fall upon all. So the decision we will make is to do good for all, to love God with our whole being, and to love our neighbors as much as we love ourselves. It's an easy message to hear, but it was never declared to be easy to do. But it is essential to our spiritual life. These three simple rules, when we looked at them, they're simple and they're practical steps that will cause transformation in the world, but they're complicated and costly, living a life that only can come through Jesus. We are challenged to love. We are challenged to do good. We are challenged to do no harm. Peter tells us to have compassion, to have grace. We are in a world right now that people thought could never get to where it was. It's more divided now. I know that they say this about every 4 years. The world's more divided now than it was 4 years ago. I will tell you, siblings in Christ, the world is more divided than I've ever seen in my lifetime. Hate is being called good. Love is being called evil. People that stand up for people with vulnerabilities, people that stand up for people that don't have a voice, are being called out, and it's being called sin. And oppression is being called good. Empowering privilege is being called good. And that is contrary to Scripture. That is contrary to what Peter says. That's contrary to what the resurrection says. It's costly to bring people together. It's costly to nurture people and to follow Jesus. But Jesus calls us to answer hostility with gentleness and to find in the waters of baptism the strength to live on as people stamped with the image of God upon our hearts. Peter, in his defense to do good, tells us to hope, to give reverence to be gentle with. Where is our hope today? Where does our hope lie in? If our hope is not in God, it is in vain. If we can't look at people's hearts, if we can't look into people's eyes and to see the hope of God in them, are we truly loving them as we love ourselves? If we look at people and we become angry with them, if we look at people and try to cast them away, that's not gentleness, siblings in Christ. That's the opposite of. Yes, we call out people for their wrongdoing, but we do it in meekness and gentleness so that they can learn and change. If we yell at people in anger, in frustration, or if our voices are writhing, then they're not hearing the love of God. To revere God is to love our enemies as much as we love those who are just like us. The Greek word for gentleness is P-R-A-U-T-E-S, proutis, and it implies strength under control. I can be angry. I can be mad. I can do all these things and still bestow gentleness upon you because I'm doing so with temperance, which is of the Spirit, because I'm doing so in love, which is of the Spirit. This is not weakness. This is soft power. This is that maternal influence, that motherly love that comes in and gently guides the child and guides them back on the way. As Jesus said when he looked down at Jerusalem, 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 thou that slaughters the prophets, how I would gather you in as a hen does her chicks. The same wings that are the wings that overshadow us and give us strength and guidance. There's a motherly link here between Peter, resurrection, and the Spirit of Christ. And it's found in reason of hope. It's not through a loud argument, but it's through a quiet, persistent way of love. They answer the whys of life with the fresh stamped image of God on their hearts. Our hearts are not stone, they are made of flesh. They have feelings and they can have empathy. And when we utilize that empathy and step into other people's shoes, we can see what shaped them to have these values that are contrary to Christ. And we can call it out and say, what brought you to this point? Let's go back. Let's turn away from. Let's recognize value in life rather than death. But it's not an easy path. It takes time. It takes patience. It takes nurturing. Mothers who mother children, they mother them from the time that they're born until they leave the house. Sometimes 18 years, sometimes more than 25. Sometimes never. They never leave the house. The nurturing continues. I was lucky enough to be raised next to my 65-year-old neighbor lady. At 6 years old, I broke her window. And she wasn't going to place the payment on my parents. She said, no, it's your responsibility. So for payment, I had to go work in her garden. And in her eyes, you can't work and not be fed. I was 6 years old. This was lucky for me. I get to go play in a garden, and then I got to go eat afterwards. It developed into a relationship to where until I reached my 30s and she passed away, she called me to check on me. How are you doing? And it was never a reciprocal relationship where she sought me to help her in her struggles. It was always, no, you're here. How can I help you? To the point where she's on hospice care and she's at home and I show up and I'm like, okay, now I can take care of you. And she's like, no, let me get up. Let me make you a pot of tea. Let me get up. Let me take care of you. And it's like, no, sit down. That motherly love never stops. God's motherly gentle love never stops for each one of us. It's always reaching out, carrying us, lifting us up, bringing us back in. And as we share it, we can share it with a good conscience. We can share it with sacrifice. We can share it with suffering. Jesus sacrificed and suffered for each one of us, not just each one of us here, but each one of us that's ever been born. That each one of us are called the children of God. That every person in the world is made in the image of God, imago Dei. Each one of us has inherent value because we're created in the image of God. It doesn't rely on being in a specific position or a specific status or a specific economic status. All of us, rich and poor, are equal before God. When Jesus speaks of motherhood, and the proverb speaks of motherhood, it speaks of a mother who looks on every child, seeing their unique circumstance and mothering them to that, teaching them to that, not alienating. But each child has to be reared separately, differently. And St. Augustine spoke, calling the church the mother. That as soon as you enter into a church, you enter into a motherhood where God begins to envelop you and to bring you in community, where people will lift you up, encourage, chasten, and sometimes spank. All to correct you into the love of God. Do you as a church welcome every person, seek to correct, seek to love, and seek to nurture, not as an individual, but as a community? Do you as a community, a church, seek the common good in your environment, in your local community? Do you seek change? Do you seek to heal the wounds of division? Do you seek to unite and empower those that have no voice? Do you seek to welcome people into baptism, social, regardless of social and economic labels? This is the purpose of community, that as soon as we enter in, everything that was me before walking in that doorway washes away. And I'm welcome and I belong. It's a welcoming beyond gentle hospitality. It's a welcoming to where as soon as I welcome him, I'm home. Mothers are meant to be, according to scripture at this time and according to traditional teachings, mothers kept the home. The church keeps the home. We find these three simple rules woven throughout this epistle. Do no harm. Keep your tongue from evil, verse 10, and again in verse 16. A mother's gentle response can de-escalate conflict. Do good. Who will harm you if you are eager to do good? Verse 13. The mother's selfless daily sacrifices for the family. Stay in love with God. Verse 15. Sanctify Christ as your Lord in your hearts. The mother's heart as the home altar for faith. We are called to love God with our entire being, and we are called to love our neighbors as ourselves. This is the message that Jesus preached in the beginning, and that Jesus continues to preach up until past his resurrection, and the church continues to preach. Two simple rules that envelop the entire heart of God that are very difficult to put into practice. We're called to put into practice. And when we fail, when we fall short, we know that we have an advocate with the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we can go back to saying, say, God, I failed today. I'm sorry. And God will gather us in and lift us up and put us back on the path. And God does more than that. God places us in a community where we can harbor and correct one another. We can encourage one another. We can help one another. The church is the family of God. Co-laborers, co-heirs with Christ. And Jesus is not like a dictator or a leader that doesn't understand us. Jesus led the way. Jesus made the crooked path straight. He made all the hilly roads flat and level. His blood paved the way. So that today we can give thanks to God for the church as mother, and for the mothers that nurtured and carried us, and for the cross that shows us the way of truth and life everlasting. That there is a place for each one of us in this world. There's hope for today and hope for tomorrow. That there is healing that will come to this land, and it will be by us, by our gentle labors, by our love and compassion. And it will come to us by the compassion that surrounds us by the love of God and those that follow the ways of Christ. So siblings, as you go out this week, as you go out this day, may you go forth to do good, to do no harm, and to stay in love with God through your gentleness, your hope, and your love. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you so much that you've given us this road. You've given us a path to follow. You've given us hearts that are made of flesh, Lord, that want to do right. And Lord, you've given us yourself to when we do wrong, when we fail and fall, it is you that picks us up. Lord, give us the strength. Give us the courage to follow in your way. And all the beloved said, amen.